This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, we got stuff.
How you doing this morning? You look good. You look fired up. Look like they're going well for you. We're underway. We got another big show today, by the way.
Every show's big.
Today's a big day, though. Today is a big day on the Packer and Durham program, show 358. Because immediately following the show, Mark gets his second vaccine shot today.
Yes, sir. Second and final. Let me emphasize the word final. Final COVID shot for me today. So I will get out of my official formal gear, because I consider a button down a formal gear the way I roll. I will go baseball hat, shorts, no socks, T-shirt, and come rolling into the Bojangles Arena. That's what it's called. I call it the Chrome Dome, but it's known as the Bojangles Arena. I will roll in there with my COVID card and say, listen, I'm a vet. I've been here, done that. I'm here in line number two. Roll up the sleeve, get the shot, and finally then go from Bojangles Arena to Bojangles. Proud sponsor.
Load
up. Nice, without the dogs, though, this time. But that's on my agenda as soon as we get out of here, 10 a.m. That's the game plan. I'm fired
Good
up.
Good for you.
That's me. I tell you what I ought to do, though, quite frankly, and again, no disrespect, because Bojangles is our sponsor. But, you know, Krispy Kreme donuts apparently says if you show up with your vaccine card, they'll give you a free donut. So just saying, you know, you balance out that biscuit with a couple donuts. I guess two shots means two donuts, the way I look at it. That's going to be my spiel through the drive-thru. Right. What would you like to order, sir? Nothing, but I want two freebies. Sir, you can't get two freebies. I'm going to say, hey, I got my vaccine card. Let's go. And I tell you what, if you want to throw a little raspberry in there for the effort, I'll go hot donut now, singular, and then I'll go a little raspberry for the effort, if you know what I'm saying. That's a freebie. Thank you very much, Krispy Kreme. And the people have the audacity, Wes, to say, well, this is a very bad idea because eating donuts are unhealthy for you. Nonsense. That's garbage. Don't listen to that. Those are the same people that used to tell you, well, you shouldn't drink wine, you shouldn't eat red meat. You know, now all of a sudden you should be swallowing whole all the time. They'll change their mind. Just load up. You're only on Earth for however long. You better enjoy it while you can. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's the game plan.
Yeah. All right. We move on here.
Yes, sir.
Hubert Davis's presser yesterday. I tell you, if you were a Carolina basketball fan, you were about ready to put the ball in the air and go, weren't you, Pac?
I hope you
can shoot. There are not too many people as passionate about basketball or as a product as Hubert Davis is about Carolina basketball. The passion, the story, the whole nine yards, it captivates you if you've never heard it. From Lake Braddock High School in Burke, Virginia, to Chapel Hill, and the story of being offered by George Mason and George Washington, and ultimately, convincing Dean Smith that he wanted to be a part of the program, to now becoming the head coach. And in all honesty, it was pretty good. I mean, if you're going to classify wins and losses on the press conference, it was a big win, I thought, yesterday for Hubert Davis.
I am the last guy to ask that question to. I have done too many radio shows where I've heard from fans all over the country that said, man, our coach, did you see him or did you see her? He's so boring or she can't tell a story. I'm like, I don't care. I simply do not care what the press conference looks like. You could give me the most boring person on the planet Earth, but if he or she are going out winning titles, putting banners up, you don't have to be good in the press conference. And if you're awesome in the press conference, tremendous. I'd rather you keep my attention than not in a perfect world. But that whole press conference judge thing to me is the biggest waste of time since recruiting rankings. I don't care. And, you know, Hubert Davis is good in front of the microphone. Stunner. He worked for ESPN. He's going to be great. The question is he going to be great on game day? I hope so. I hope so for North Carolina, their fans, and for the league. North Carolina needs to be good. Needs to be good in college basketball. No reason why you shouldn't be. So this whole press conference thing, I've heard the good side and the bad side from all over the country, and I laugh every time I hear it. It's like, well, that's awesome. Can he or she coach? That's the most important thing. tremendous that they're a great soundbite, or it's unfortunate that they're boring in front of a mic. Either way, does not matter to me. Can you win and do it the right way? There is no doubt. It's no doubt that Coach Davis has passion, right? Bubba Cunningham told us yesterday on this show, the thing that blew him away was the true passion and desire from the heart, what that school meant to him, and it swayed him. And so for Hubert, or I should say now, Coach Davis, I don't want to call him Hubert, Coach Davis, to go in front of the microphone yesterday and wow everybody, no surprise at all. Now he needs to wow everybody on game day. And Tag, you're it. Let's get to work.
Well, yesterday was an interesting kind of cross connection, if you will, between the press conference and social media out of the UNC basketball account. And it started not long after the press conference ended when Carolina released this video from Roy Williams.
Hi, this is Roy Williams. I used to be the head basketball coach at the University of North Carolina. Now I'm thrilled, absolutely thrilled, to be here in the Smith Center, to go out on that court to the press conference to see Hubert Davis named as the head basketball coach at North Carolina. And when I say thrilled, it's all in capital letters. In 1987-88, I went with Coach Dean Smith into Hubert Davis's home. And Coach Smith said, I don't know that you'll ever be able to play here, Hubert, and I don't want to do this. I got in the car with Coach and I said, Coach, I think he'll play more than you think he will because I think he's so competitive and so driven. Hubert told Coach Smith, said, you'll never know unless you give me a chance. Coach Smith, a couple of days later, called him, said, I listened to what you said, and I'm going to offer you a scholarship at North Carolina. And Hubert committed to Coach Smith right then. Hubert Davis was an overachiever as a basketball player. He was not a McDonald's All-American, but he ended up scoring 1,600 points, I think, here at North Carolina. Hubert was an overachiever who also became a first-round draft choice. Hubert Davis was an overachiever that also played 12 years in the NBA. I've never known a finer person in my entire life who has a switch that he turns on and can be as competitive as anybody around. Hubert Davis will not be an overachiever as a coach to me, because I think he's going to be great. Hubert, welcome to that seat as the head basketball coach at North Carolina. You will love it. I will love you sitting there. I will be here cheering. I won't ever criticize you. I'll blame it on the officials. You are the finest young man I've ever known in my life. This is hard because I love this program, but you love this program and have the same passion that I do, and you'll be better than me. Congratulations, son.
Blaming the refs, Roy Williams. That should be a new book. I'm Roy Williams, and I'm blaming the refs. Love it. That was cool. I thought that whole video was out of sight. Loved it.
Yeah, I did too. And the timing on it was outstanding because it was just behind the press conference. And let's get to the press conference because – that's where, as Pac said, no surprise, Coach Davis, very good behind the microphone, and he talked about the challenge of replacing Coach Roy Williams.
I don't feel pressure because I'm not comparing myself to anybody. Coach Williams is the greatest. I'm Hubert. And as I said before, the only thing that I need to do is to do this job with my personality and in my shoes. And I've been doing that for 50 years, so I think I can do it some more. I don't have a problem with that. And yes, this job brings pressure. Yes, this job brings anxiety, but I played here. I played 12 years in the NBA, 7 years with ESPN, always on TV on game day, and was 9 years here as an assistant coach. And so all those experiences have prepared me to walk this path with humbleness, excitement, joyfulness, and determination.
It's Coach Davis's path, 100% right. And, you know, everything he said makes a ton of sense in terms of playing in New York City, playing for North Carolina, on the bench, ESPN. I mean, all that will add to, okay, let's get a game plan together, surround myself with great talent, terrific staff and go to work. Again, press conference, whether you thought it was awesome or the worst thing you ever heard, quite frankly, is irrelevant. The object is to put together a program and continue excellence at the University of North Carolina. And Hubert knows what it takes. Now you got to go get to work. And North Carolina needs to get back in that conversation where they're sticking their nose in people's business as far as national championships, ACC titles, and all that stuff. It can be done. It's been done before. And North Carolina's got every resource known to man to accomplish it again.
Well, and the other part about it is, too, there's the basketball job, and then there's filling the role. You know, this legacy is one of the great things, Pac. It's also one of the difficult things, right? I mean, there is that kind of thin line that you walk between the two. And he spoke about that yesterday as well.
You know,
so when you think about doing that, I think it's an interesting line, because he was pretty candid in one of the things we'll talk about today. He wants Carolina guys as part of their program, and it's intentional, and that's really kind of the first time it's been done in the past, but it's really the first time somebody flat came out and said, "Hey, look, it's Carolina basketball, and we want Carolina people."
Again, it's like to me, it's just like the press conference. Carolina guys or no Carolina guys, the object is to win and do it the right way. Now, if you do it with a bunch of NC State alums on the bench, no harm, no foul, as far as I'm concerned. It'd be great in a perfect world. You keep it, quote unquote, in the family. But the object isn't a matter of, hey, look at our resumes. Doesn't it look great? We're all graduates of University of North Carolina. The object is to win, right? You have to win, and you have to do it the right way. So, again, I think if you're a fan of the school, in this particular case, it's North Carolina, all that sounds great. But when we roll the ball out in October and November, you know what? People aren't going to be sitting in the stands going, hey, I know we're down 18 to Duke, but isn't it cool that we all have North Carolina grads on the bench? Nobody has that conversation. You know why? Because the object's to win the game. So that's what Hubert's got to do. So, but the press conference, I think if you're a North Carolina fan, you absolutely loved what you heard yesterday, because he was speaking on behalf of that diploma on your wall if you're a North Carolina alum. He was speaking to you as a North Carolina fan, because you know what? That's how it's supposed to feel, that, you know what, we are North Carolina, rah-rah, and all that great stuff. He had all of that yesterday, and it didn't surprise me. But I will say it again. Cut right to the chase. Awesome. But the object is to win games and championships, and that's what he's got to go do.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Big guests all over the place, including Sam Perkins, who we had on, by the way, when last summer. Did we not do the Michael Jordan special with Sam? Is that where we've had Sam? I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. And, yes, sir. That is correct.
I don't believe we've had him on Packer and Durham. That makes any sense.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, he did the some of the what'd you call it, the Q series?
Yeah, the Q series.
We did a little Q series on Michael Jordan. Yeah.
That was the middle of summer.
Where's the old Packer and Durham Q series sign, by the way? You still got that somewhere?
I do. I don't know if we can get a shot of it. But it's up. I hooked it up on the ESPN banner for everybody who's ever walked in the basement that co-hosted the show has signed the ESPN banner. And so I hooked up the Packer and Durham Q series little deal I had. I don't know if you can. Now you can't quite see it.
Look at all the thank you notes.
Yeah, those are things. Yeah. You and I have not done a show together side by side since March of last year. That is now an addition to the studio, or all the thank you notes, because I like writing handwritten notes, as you know. And so when I get one back from an ACC school, and there's some others on there. There's a Greg Sankey one up there, and other stuff from other clients and so forth. So that is the thank you note board, which I just stuck a bunch of stuff.
I'm sorry to break this up. Is that former Masters champion Angel Cabrera in the chair next to you?
No, that's me. Angel Cabrera is in jail.
Okay, sorry.
My evil twin is in a Brazilian jail looking to get back home to Argentina. So if you're looking for him at Augusta this weekend, my evil twin, Angel Cabrera, He will not be there. He can't quite make it to the par three or the first round because he's in prison. Double bogey.
Which means we miss one of the great moments of Packer and Durham together, which is the Friday morning reading of the Thursday scorecard.
Yes, that's a tradition on our show when I do my best Angel Cabrera, my evil twin, since we look exactly like each other, when we go through his scorecard at Augusta. Bogey, yeah. Bogey, double bogey.
Yeah. All
not
right.
Good.
All right, let's go before we take this thing completely off the rails. Bubba Cunningham, in case you missed it from yesterday at 7:45. Sam Perkins in about 10 minutes. Hubert Davis yesterday in his press conference in Chapel Hill talked about what it takes to do the job, and he was pretty intentional about what he thought a main ingredient was.
You can't do this job unless you're a Carolina guy. It's impossible. You can't coach here. You can't recruit here. You can't work here unless you have been here, you've experienced it, you have lived it. And so in terms of a staff, it's all guys that have experienced this place and believe it and have the passion and the desire that all of us have for this university and this program and these kids in this community. One of the things that I desperately want to do in terms of a staff is I want to connect the generations. I want to have guys on staff that played for Coach Smith. I want to have guys on staff that played for Coach Guthridge. And I want to have guys on staff that played with Coach Williams. I want to be able to connect all those because I think bringing all those coaches together is what makes Carolina, Carolina. And so in assembling a staff, that is the number one thing that I'm thinking about. You've got to be a Carolina guy. And I want an example from every one of the coaches that have meant so much to me, but has also meant so much to this program.
Sounds great, but can I say the same thing I said three times already today? You know, I think there's a lot of guys that have no ties to North Carolina that could be really good coaches at UNC. All that's irrelevant. Sounds good, but you got to go win. So put together the staff. They're all North Carolina alums, tremendous. But North Carolina's got to get back to being North Carolina. And I hope Hubert... Coach Davis has a great run because, it, like I said, it'd be tremendous for North Carolina, be great for the league. It's good for college basketball. I'll be honest with you. The March Madness, as tremendous as it was, hey, if you're telling me that Indiana and Kentucky and Duke aren't in it every year, you got to have the bloods, man. I'm just saying. The blue bloods got to be part of it. It was cool to have Gonzaga and Baylor playing for a title, but it's always better. True in college football. It's true in college basketball when the blue bloods are rocking. Just saying. It's better for the sport. So I hope Hubert, Coach Davis, gets it done. Rooting for him.
Style of play was the last thing from yesterday that I think was one of the objectives out there for people to hear about. Would Carolina stay with some of the foundational pieces? Sounds that way, but it also sounds as if they're going to maybe carve out some new systems as well.
Well, I answer it this way. The foundation is set here at Carolina, and it's a foundation that I believe in. It's a foundation that has been tested and tried and proven successful through Coach Smith, Coach Guthridge, and Coach Williams. I've got no desire, I've got no plans of going away from that foundation because I believe in it. I do understand that the game has changed, and we've got to get better next year. Plain and simple, period, the end. The guys, the returning players, and I've talked to them. In order for us to be successful and be able to achieve the team goals that we need and also the individual goals and hopes and dreams that those guys have, this summer is huge for them to significantly get better. We've got to get better with the transfer portal and bring in big-time players that have a vision of wanting to be a part of this program, wanting to be a part of this history. and wanting to be big-time players here on the floor. And so, yes, things have changed, but Carolina has been tested and tried and perfected and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way, and it will be successful even now.
Transfer portal, go get them. Every, like I said, the way I look at it, this whole deal was, I'm assuming everybody's gone. Yeah. Now you got to go put together a roster. We're living in interesting times in the world of college athletics, especially college basketball, where people are getting up and leaving town overnight. And, you know, again, there's no reason in the world why North Carolina should not be successful in basketball.
Two wrinkles yesterday off of one in the presser and one postscript. Hubert Davis's open discussion of Walker Kessler, who put his name in the transfer portal, and Coach Davis said yesterday he had already texted him. He had an expectation to talk to him yesterday after the press conference, basically saying he wants Walker here. This is the right place for him, and he needs to come back. That was a pretty, you know, overt way to say, hey, look, I want the guy here. And to be honest, I thought the public piece of that was really unique. Second part of this involves Armando Bacot, who last night did submit that he is going to test the NBA draft waters but will not retain an agent in case he wants to come back for his junior year at Chapel Hill. There was an expectation that that's exactly how that would play out, so I don't think that's any real surprise to Carolina. But Bacot will test the draft process. Carolina's leading scorer at 12 a game. One of their most productive rebounders in terms of per minute. It'll be interesting to see how those two individuals in particular turn for Coach Davis's first Tar Heel team.
Wes, can I say something ridiculously dumb here? Why do we do this? Why do we go through this exercise? Why don't we just say, hey, listen, every single player in college basketball is available for the NBA draft under that scenario. And if you're not drafted, everybody should test your waters. I don't care if you're doing the warm-up drill for a team that went 0-16 and you're averaging 1 point a game. I'm going to test the waters. You know what? In 3 minutes, I found out that nobody has an interest. I decided to come back. I mean, so every time I see a story with a player that says, hey, I'm putting my name in the hat for the NBA draft, but I'm not going to sign with an agent. I'm assuming all of you should do that. All of you do it. Why don't we have an announcement about it? And you know what? If it turns out you get information from the NBA, hey, we believe you're a first-round pick, you know, probably in all likelihood you should go and say, guess what? Where do I sign up for a seven-figure contract? I mean, that's what life's all about, right? I want to chase my dream, and somebody's going to pay me seven figures, I'm in. If it turns out you get information, hey, you couldn't play Dead in a Cowboy movie, hey, maybe I should go back and enjoy college life and get a free education and develop my skills as a basketball player. I don't even understand why there's even an announcement. Everybody, go put your foot in water and see what the NBA thinks of you. And if the folks in the NBA believe you can play, hey, then you got a decision to make. If you have a game like Mark Packer, your butt will be sitting right back on the bench getting ready for next fall. I don't even understand it. I've never understood it.
All right, so let me clarify going to break here. Everybody's in the portal.
Everybody's
available for the draft.
That's absolutely right. Let's cut to the and make it really easy without people with their emotions going crazy, without Coach Davis pleading for a kid to come back or whatever the case. Hey, that's what it is. That's the world that we live in. Anybody can get up and leave overnight. Anybody can go say, hey, I'm available for the NBA draft. And now we're going to find out what your roster looks like in October. It'll eliminate a bunch of headaches between now and then as a fan or a broadcaster. Eliminates all the headaches.
It might make recruiting a little tricky and scholarship allotment a little tricky, but elsewise I think we're in good shape.
It is, but we're not coaches, so what do we care? I mean, we're not getting paid seven figures. We're sitting in our respective basements with pets, and I'm not going to waste any time on who's in or out of the portal. I'm not going to worry about who's in or out of the NBA draft. When we roll the ball out in the fall, we're going to say, hey, here's what North Carolina's roster looks like. Here's what Virginia's roster looks like. And then we'll deal with it. But in the meantime, this whole world that we're living in is nuts. It's crazy.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Wes, as I mentioned to you, Sam Perkins joined us last summer. We were doing the Michael Jordan tribute on the Q Series and all that good stuff. He now joins us bright and early. Sam Perkins, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing good, man. It is early. I tell you that much.
Without disclosing too much information, where are you? Like in Australia? Like, is it that early? Or I mean, where are you?
Man, I'm not overseas because of this COVID. That's the only thing that messed my year up. But I'm in Texas.
Oh, it's not too bad. It's only 6:30.
It's still early, though.
Yeah, 6:30, Sam.
Early. That's still early.
You got that. You got that in your rearview mirror. Piece of cake.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get into this North Carolina thing. How excited are you that North Carolina stays in the family with the announcement that Hubert Davis is the next men's head basketball coach? How excited are you?
Man, that's a great move because it's like you mentioned, it stays in the family, and at the same time, Hubert Davis is like a young coach who's been tutored to the point to know the ins and outs of coaching for the past, I think he was there, 9 years or something like that. But
yeah, right.
I think that was an admirable choice. It was no brainer because he went to Carolina, played, graduated, and he knows his stuff. So after all the assessment of who was going to be there, I think Coach knew this 9 years ago, 10 years ago, that he had to have his predecessor come from Carolina because of the fact that it's a tight-knit group. And plus, Hubert is a well-groomed guy, so I think that the school itself, AD and all, they really like him. And I think, like I said, Coach knew what he was doing 9 years ago, 10 years ago.
Sam, difficult question, but what similarities do you see in Hubert Davis that maybe you see in Coach Williams or you saw when you played for Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge?
Well, it is a hard question, but I don't think there is any similarity. We haven't seen him as the guy in the hot seat, in a sense, in the first seat. Hubert is a student for the game, I know that, and they know what Coach Smith, Coach Guthridge, they know their ideals as far as how to coach, how to present themselves with players. It's been a family-oriented type of system. Guys with good character. I think he will probably lead with those type things, and at the same time, players who really want to come and play. The playing has been a little different in the past years because of the fact of the one and dones and things of that nature. But I think the most important thing is that how he's going to recruit. And now with the situation of portals and things of that nature, he'll get to see, you know, what talent is like and then try to bring his own brand of basketball there. Mm-hmm.
Sam, you know, the debate since Roy Williams announced his retirement last week was in the family or out of the family. Now that we know that answer, let me ask you this question. How about the significance of the fact that Hubert Davis is the first African-American head coach for the men's basketball program? What impact does that have on you as a former player and looking at the big picture where we are from a societal standpoint?
Well, that's one of the big factors, too. So many black players have gone to this school and graduated and found success. And it's kind of a situation where you're in the South for so long, and the way the South has been presented, you know, since when I was there. And now that Hubert is, you know, the head coach, it brings a great significance to that position. Like I said, first black. Dean Smith broke the barrier as far as recruiting black players. The first player that was black came into the system was Charlie Scott. And then, you know, you have people like McAdoo and Phil Ford and Walter Davis come through those times. But I really think that more importantly, you know, we do support him, and at a major white university that holds a great significance to some of the African American players, the students there, the city itself. It just brings a whole different realm to what Hubert Davis's will represent. But more importantly, you know, they always hire, it has been a reputation of hiring black coaches or black men to when the system or is in a revamp mode, and we are in a revamp mode in a sense, and hopefully that they will stick with him through the times of tough times and give him some longevity and some room to get the thing going. So, but I think we are really happy because of the fact so many names were being tossed around, and Hubert Davis was, you know, looks like he was the odd man out, but all of a sudden things came real quick, and Coach Williams made a bid for his predecessor to be Hubert, because Hubert is probably the one to do that.
Sam, one of the things that struck me in the last 72 hours, and Bubba Cunningham, we're going to replay an interview from yesterday here in a moment. Bubba Cunningham told us he knew of the Carolina basketball family, but he didn't understand the magnitude of it. And in 5 days, he grabbed it, and it grabbed him. What's the last 5 days been like for a guy that, you know, played a couple of years ago, that's the program?
Man,
What's it been like?
Man, like I said, it's been like, man, it was crazy because, first of all, I didn't expect Roy Williams to retire in the manner that he did. He just signed an extension, so we knew that the extension wasn't going to be fulfilled because it would have been a long time before he, you know, some more years that he would have been there. But regardless, I think the 5 days was so much speculation within the Carolina family. Players, there's a group me and everything that's been talked. There's been articles written about, you know, other coaches that were involved with other universities, Self, Miller, even Wes Miller, Stackhouse. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were so many names tossed around that we were just like, man, who could this be? But he was under our nose all this time. They knew it was Hubert Davis, but it was so much speculation that we just wanted to make sure that Hubert was given a fair chance of being looked at. And at the same time, somebody that was in the family of Carolina, because so far it's been people that, you know, either associated or, you know, went to the university as a player. So there were many choices, I'm sure, but this is probably the realest one of all the guys, because he's been there. He's been on that bench. He's been in that third or second seat or whatever you want to call it, but he knows the reputation. He knows the character. He knows the lifestyle of Carolina, the Alumni Association. And I mean, he's probably the choice, and so we have to now support him and see what he can do and make sure that he's supported well.
Sam, Coach Davis said you got to be a Carolina guy to understand it and coach there. Obviously, he's going to put together a tremendous staff, but just for fun, I know you haven't had your first espresso yet this morning out there in Big D. So for fun now, Hubert's the head coach. He's going to put together a bunch of Carolina guys there as his assistant. But I'm going to allow you to have a wild card assistant coach for Hubert. Which North Carolina player from the 70s, 80s, or 90s only would you add as a wild card as an assistant to be on the bench? Your call. Your exclusive call.
Man, so I was talking about that yesterday, and I'm like, I'm trying to figure out who he would bring in. And I eliminated myself totally, first of all, because I'm not gonna be there too long. But that is a good question that I have no idea. I don't know, but I would say there's guys like, and I would try to go in his class, and you know, the name that came to mind real quick though wasn't in his class, but I was going to say Rasheed Wallace.
Exactly.
Rasheed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Rasheed. Come on, Sam.
Sam, let me tell you what's funny. I was baiting you on that question because I didn't know how you were going to respond. But if you didn't say Rasheed Wallace, I was going to jump all over you and go, are you kidding me? Can you imagine Rasheed on that sideline? And again, Hubert going, and Rasheed, you're embarrassing us, man. Just go sit down and quit taunting the refs, right? Because Rasheed would be all over him.
Okay, that was a wild card guess. That is not my. That's just for fun. That's it.
That was the right answer.
I know.
Rasheed, let me tell you, Hubert Davis are two different personalities. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Hey, I got to tell you, thanks so much for hopping up this morning with us out in Dallas. Always great to catch up with you, and look forward to seeing you in person sometime soon, I hope.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care.
You bet. Sam Perkins, one of the all-time great Carolina players. That's all you were looking for was somebody to say Rasheed Wallace on the bench.
I hate to say it, and this is what we're tipping our hand to how we conduct interviews. Sometimes you ask a question hoping to get an answer, and no matter what Sam was going to say, I was going Rasheed Wallace on it. And the fact that he worked his way around and finally got to it is fantastic. That was beautiful.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Kern Durham on a Wednesday. Sam Perkins, he was funny. Sound asleep and still funny. Big smooth, baby. Yesterday, though, we had a fun time. We had a big show yesterday with tons of guests. And Bubba Cunningham kind of laid it out for us, didn't he?
Yeah, he was fantastic. We went back to Thursday night's media availability when we started our interview visit with Bubba yesterday because he said last Thursday night, fit, time, and circumstance would all be big factors in the next basketball coach at Carolina. And I asked him right off the top, how did those three factors lead you to Hubert Davis?
You know, I really did want to be broad in looking and trying to figure out what is right for us right now. And I, as I said the other night, I mean, I know that's cliche, but there's no other way to say it. And you feel like you're in coach speak when you say that. You know, if we play good offense, play good defense, we have a chance to win this game. You know, I did want to look nationally. I did want to look thoroughly through Carolina family. And I wanted to see what is the right thing today, given the landscape that we're in. College athletics is changing. All of these programs will change. Our program will change. And what's the right leader today, given the environment? The kids that are coming in have been raised differently than I was raised, differently than Hubert was raised. And so now how do we deal with them? How do we provide them the opportunities that they're looking for? You know, some of them want to go pro. Well, all of them want to go pro. But we also want to provide them an incredible education while they're here. We want to maintain these opportunities. But I also recognize that the Supreme Court, state legislator, the NCAA rules, all those things are changing. So we need somebody that is nimble, professional, connected, and willing to work in a very uncertain environment and provide these opportunities for these kids. So as I started thinking about all that, looking at the people that I thought could lead us right now, it became evident that Hubert was the guy. And he's going to put together an incredible staff. He's going to maintain the history and tradition of Carolina basketball. But we're going to meet the kids where they are today and try to provide a path for them to get to where they want to be. And they'll all be a little bit different.
Bubba, I can only imagine the pressure that you had to feel it. That, hey, like you said the other day, that this job doesn't come off open very often. And everybody and their brother would love to have it, but it has to be the right fit, as you alluded to. But the anticipation of when you came to the realization, Hubert Davis is the answer to the question. When you go to make the phone call, there had to be the anticipation of almost like, hey, you're going to a rock concert, the anticipation of opening kickoff, that, oh my God, it's getting ready to happen. So what's it like when you're dialing Hubert's number? or when you go see him face to face, however you announce to him, hey, Hubert, congratulations, you're going to be the next coach. Walk us through that state of the anticipation that you went through and what you heard in response.
Well, actually, the way it worked was I had really good options. And I'm sitting there trying to discern what is going to make the difference and how am I going to make this decision? And quite frankly, it was a conversation with Hubert. And the energy, the passion, the commitment, his own personality absolutely tipped me over the top. And he left, and I ended up calling the chancellor and said, I know who we're going to hire. I know who I want to recommend to hire. And fortunately, that was Hubert. The story's out there, you know, how he wasn't recruited, you'll never know if you don't give me a chance. And Coach Smith gave him a chance, and he comes here and he starts. He goes to the NBA, and you're too slow, you can't play, and he's a starting point guard. And, you know, what he told me is I didn't go there to prove anybody wrong. I went there to be the best I can be. And that attitude, that it's a slight difference, but in my mind, it's a huge difference. I'm not going to prove anybody. I want to do the best I can. And that kind of leadership, get the best out of the individuals. Don't worry about what other people think about you, but what can I bring to the table and how hard can I work? How hard can I push myself? And that type of leadership is really, in my mind, the definition of a servant leader. And he's been doing that as an assistant coach. He's been connecting with the players. And it was just the personal feeling I had for Hubert. I expect competency. And we talk to so many people that have a competent background, have an incredible background. But what is it going to take today for this group at this place? And he's absolutely phenomenal in my mind.
You talked about the impact of the Carolina basketball family. And even though you've been there several years and you've been given full credit, and rightly so, of understanding all the dimensions of what Carolina basketball is, what did you learn about Carolina basketball in 4 days that maybe you didn't know?
Well, again, you know, I learned a great deal when we dedicated the court to Coach Williams. That's the first time I was really surrounded by the Carolina family. And Hubert gave an inspiring speech that night, by the way. And all of the folks that I talked to, it was remarkable. And then what I learned really is the selflessness of the guys that I talked to and their commitment, dedication, loyalty to the program and to each other. And they are a supportive community. And I underestimated that probably, but it gives me goosebumps. It gives me goosebumps right now to think about how committed they are and how much they want this thing to be successful. And you can see it from outside. And I've heard the players talk about it in the locker room, in the NBA locker rooms. There's something about you guys. There's, you know, you all get together. I mean, is it real? Is it authentic? And I absolutely, because I've experienced it in the last 5 days like I never have before.
I have heard the word energy mentioned a couple different ways in the last, 20-some hours. What does the energy of Hubert Davis and the energy of, if you'll pardon the term, new era of Carolina basketball mean to Bubba Cunningham this morning?
Well, we're in a different time. Now, I mentioned all those different changes to college athletics and the energy he brings, the passion, the commitment. And it'll be interesting to see the staff that he puts together. And we have a great foundation. And, you know, you can see it in his personality. I mean, that's an infectious smile, the enthusiasm, the positive nature of how he goes about his life. It is just something that, you know, we lose track of some of that. You know, we are attracting 18 to 22-year-olds, and I know I talk about this a lot, but it's meaningful to me. It's meaningful to him. We're providing opportunities for kids to come to college, get an education, and play and do what they want. Play pro, go into a profession. It doesn't matter. We are a college educationally based system, and he's going to mentor kids and bring them along in life. And it gives me energy to know that he's willing to do that. He's able to do that. So I think our future is as bright as it's ever been, but we're grounded in incredible tradition and history.
Big week for Bubba, big week for Hubert Davis, big week for North Carolina, no question.
Yeah, and I we appreciate Bubba's time yesterday. I think he did a tremendous job in being very forward. And I mean, the press conference last Thursday night, I said that at the top yesterday, is kind of unique. And I hope a lot more of his colleagues will take to that route when coaching changes are made, right? You have the press conference announcing the retirement, and then, you know, you do a presser talking about what you're looking for going forward later. And I thought he was very forthcoming about that. Second part is this. Carolina's always had an interesting window with men's basketball, right? We've always talked about that. I mean, it's a legacy program. It's one of the pillars of the ACC. But it's always interesting to see when Sam Perkins, who spoke to us 20 minutes ago, to Phil Ford on Friday, to all these other guys, it's just amazing to watch it kind of unfold, isn't it? In something like this, to see just what the thing is.
Well, you just don't see the gig open very often. And when you do, you know, everybody and their brother would be really, really interested in the job. So I think the process of seeing where Bubba was going to go, and I just respect the fact that it has had nothing to do with a coaching search. It all had to do with the fact that, hey, I'm running the show here at the University of North Carolina, and all the smart people are going to get together. We don't need to search for them. We know what's in our best interest to move forward. To me, that was the most impressive thing. If it works out that Hubert Davis is incredibly successful, that's tremendous. But I think that when you're in charge, whether it be a radio station, an athletic department, pizza parlor, whatever, I don't care, insurance company, say it all the time, you better have great leadership, because if you don't, you're bound to fail. And when you have a guy that says, hey, I'm going to take charge, and it doesn't matter, man, woman, doesn't matter. We've got it in this league. We talked about the ADs in this conference, how impressive they are. I like it when somebody says, I know what's in our best interest. I don't need to hire somebody to tell me what to do. That's what they're paying me to do. So that part of it I thought was incredibly interesting to watch. And, you know, the big debate was in-house, out-of-house, family, no family. And North Carolina's found their guy. And like I said 100 times already, tag you're it, Hubert Davis. Let's go. Time to roll up the sleeves and get to work.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.